ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 7. The Sacrifice Performed by Daksha. Text 47. Sa prasida tvam asmakam akamshatam darshanam te parabrashta satkarmanam kirtyamane nubi nani yagya isha te yagya vigna Shayam Yanti Tasmai Namaha Saprasida Tvam Asmakam Akamshatam Darshanam Te Parivrashta Satkarmanam Kirtyamane Nirvinami Yageshate Yagya Vignakshayam Yanti Tasmai Namah Sa, that same person, Prasida, be pleased. Tvam, you. Asmakam, upon us. Akamshatam, waiting. Darshanam, audience. Te, your. Paribrashta, fallen down. Satkarmanam, of whom the performance of sacrifice. Kirtyamane, being chanted. Nribhi, by persons. Nami, your holy name. Yagya Isha, O Lord of sacrifice. Te, your. Yagya Vigna, obstacles. Kshayam, destruction. Yanti, attain. Tasmai, unto you. Namaha, respectful obeisances. Translation: Dear Lord, we were awaiting your audience because we have been unable to perform the yajnas according to the Vedic rituals. We pray unto you, therefore, to be pleased with us. Simply by chanting your holy name, one can surpass all obstacles. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you in your presence. Please repeat. Dear Lord.
Dear Lord.
We were awaiting your audience.
We were awaiting your audience.
Because we have been unable to perform the yajnas. According to the Vedic rituals. We pray unto you. Therefore. To be pleased with us. Simply by chanting your holy name. One can surpass all obstacles. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. In your presence. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Brahmin priests were very hopeful that their sacrifice would be carried out without obstacles now that Lord Vishnu was present. It is significant in this verse that the Brahmins say, simply by chanting your holy name, we can surpass the obstacles. But now you are personally present. The performance of yajna by daksha was obstructed by the disciples and followers of Lord Shiva. The Brahmins indirectly criticized the followers of Lord Shiva. But because the Brahmins were always protected by Lord Vishnu, Shiva's followers could not do any harm to their prosecution of the sacrificial process. There is a saying that when Krishna protects someone, no one can do him harm. And when Krishna wants to kill someone, no one can protect him. The vivid example was Ravana. Ravana was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. But when Lord Ramachandra wanted to kill him, Lord Shiva could not protect him. If some demigod, even Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma, wants to do harm to a devotee, Krishna protects the devotee. But when Krishna wants to kill someone, such as Ravana or Hiranyakasipu, no demigod can protect him. Translation again. Dear Lord, we were awaiting your audience because we have been unable to perform the yajnas according to the Vedic rituals. We pray unto you, therefore, to be pleased with us. Simply by chanting your holy name, one can surpass all obstacles. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you in your presence. So here the Brahmanas pray to Lord Vishnu. They had gathered to perform the sacrifice, but the performance of the sacrifice was interrupted by the fight between the followers of Daksha and the followers of Lord Shiva. Now, after the devastation that took place in the sacrificial arena, Daksha and the Brahmanas want to proceed with the sacrifice. And Lord Vishnu himself personally appeared, and therefore different categories of devotees who have gathered for the sacrifice, have offered prayers to the Lord turn by turn, according to their particular realization. The Lord is unlimited. No one can fully comprehend the greatness of the Lord or the glories of the Lord. But different categories of elevated beings who had gathered for the sacrifice expressed their appreciation for the Lord, for their glorification of the Lord according to their positions and perspectives. Now the Brahmins were specifically charged with the performance of the sacrifice, and they are hopeful that now, in the Lord's presence, the sacrifice will proceed unimpeded. The word vibhina means obstacles. Kshaya means destruction. They're hoping that all the obstacles will be destroyed by the presence of Lord Vishnu. But they know that all the obstacles can be destroyed simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu. In fact, the holy name of Lord Vishnu is identical to Vishnu. And when one chants the holy name purely, the Lord is fully manifest, and he destroys all obstacles. Of course, Lord Nisringadeva is also known as Bhakti Vigna Vinashi, who destroys all the obstacles to bhakti. But the effectiveness of the chanting of the holy name in destroying the obstacles depends on the quality of the chanting. These obstacles, generally the internal obstacles, generally come in two categories. Avidya, which means ignorance, and anarthas, which means unwanted things. They are compared to fog and to clouds. And the holy name is compared to the sun. When the holy name is chanted offenselessly, attentively, the holy name acts like a powerful sun, bright sun, and it very quickly eradicates the fog and clouds. But when the holy name is chanted negligently or inattentively, the effects are not so powerful. It's like when the sun is weak, the sunshine is weak, even though the sun is in the sky, but still the fog persists and the clouds persist. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that attentive chanting will eliminate all the 10 offenses. And in the presence of inattentive chanting, the other offenses can grow and flourish. So the Brahmins say, simply by chanting your holy name, one can surpass all obstacles, but one must chant attentively, without offense. Without offense means that one must, moment by moment, try to avoid offenses. And offenses are committed not just when we chant. Yes, the inattentive chanting is an offense. But offenses can be committed at any time. Sadhu Ninda, criticizing devotees, misunderstanding the position of demigods in relation to Lord Vishnu, Gurur Avagya, disobeying the orders of the spiritual master, Shruti Shastra Nindanam, blaspheming the Vedic literatures or literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version. And of course, there are subtle manifestations of the offenses which may not be take the form of vocalized blasphemy, but we could have some offensive mentality. We might keep it to ourselves, but it's still an offense, and it obstructs our spiritual progress. It obstructs our ability to chant without offense, by definition. So there are three stages in chanting: the offensive stage, namaparad, the clearing stage, namabhas, and the pure stage, shuddhanam. And the critical stage is the clearing stage. Because if we make the effort to live our lives without offense and to chant the holy name without offense at every moment, then the anarthas within the heart will be eradicated. Anartha nivritti. And then we will surpass the obstacles, as mentioned in the verse, and become steady, nishtha, develop taste, ruchi, and actually become attached. But now we're attached to so many other things. We become attached to the holy name, attached to Krishna. And then Baba and Prema. Now the Brahmins were protected by Lord Vishnu. Of course, Lord Shiva was also protected. But it's mentioned here specifically that the Brahmins were protected by Lord Vishnu. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Krishna is very favorably inclined to the Brahmins, because the Brahminical culture is essential for the proper maintenance of society. The Brahmins are compared to the head of the social body. Of course, all the parts of the body are required, head, the arms, the stomach, the legs. All are required, and all are meant to work in harmony. But still, comparatively, the brain is most important. Without the brain, the body cannot function. And because the Brahmins are the head of society, they are most important for the function of society. They have 6 occupational duties, patan patan. They study the scripture and they teach it. They worship the Lord and teach others to worship. And they accept charity and they give charity. Brahmins, in principle, are forbidden to accept service, means to become paid employees. But they live by charity, which is a matter of faith, but that is also what defines a Brahmin. From a certain point of view, these different categories, Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra, are defined by their degree of faith. The Brahmins have the most faith. They have faith that God will protect them, God will provide for them. Next are the Kshatriyas. They also have faith. They have to be heroic and courageous. They have to have faith that they'll be able to maintain their positions in spite of all opposition and rivals. And next are the Vaishyas. They also require faith that the Lord will send customers. And the Shudras have less faith. They need the security of a job and regular income. Otherwise, they feel anxious. And no one should feel anxious. Everyone should act according to what position is natural to him or her, and not artificially try to imitate, someone else. Of course, in Kali Yuga, Kalo Sutra Sambhava, Kali, everyone is born Sutra, and the conditions are so chaotic that anyone in any position can easily feel disturbed. But still, these different natures are there, and one should, act as suitable according to one's nature and qualification. Srila Prabhupada told a story to illustrate how, even if one is in very adverse conditions, if one has a particular nature, that nature will come through. At one time there was a plague in Calcutta, and the government was offering the plague was being spread by rats. So the government was offering maybe like 2 paisa to anyone who would bring in a dead rat. I think 2 paisa was worth more than. So there was a young man he actually had that business sense. And he approached, you know, a wealthy businessman. And he told him that he wanted to start a business, but he needed some capital to begin his business. So the wealthy man pointed his finger out the window and said, "Your capital is right there, lying on the street." He was pointing to a dead rat. So that young man went out, he began to collect dead rats from the street and get two paisa, two paisa, two paisa, and he gradually developed, accumulated enough to begin to buy whatever commodity he wanted to trade in, and he gradually became a successful businessman, a wealthy businessman, because he had that knack for business, he had that spirit. Even though he started with nothing, absolutely nothing. And of course there's so many stories about Brahmins, just surviving by their faith. But in any case, the point here is that the Brahmins are dear to Lord Vishnu, and they are protected by the Lord. And therefore they were confident of the success of the yoga and the end. Even if a powerful demigod like Lord Shiva was the most powerful of the demigods, or Lord Brahma is the chief of the demigods within the universe, even if they oppose a devotee, if the devotee is protected by Krishna, even Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, cannot do anything to harm the devotee. Krishna rake mareke, rake Krishna mareke. If Krishna protects someone, no one can kill him. And if Krishna wants to kill someone, no one can protect him. And the vivid example is Ravana. It's described in the Shastra that when Lord Ramachandra was fighting with Ravana, and Ravana was in trouble, Parvati said to Lord Shiva that Ravana is your great devotee. Now he's in difficulty. Why don't you do something to help him? And Lord Shiva replied that when Lord Ramachandra wants to kill Ravana, what can I do? He was powerless in the face of Lord Ramachandra's power. Similarly, Hiranyakasipu performed severe austerities to be blessed by Lord Brahma. Still, when Hiranyakasipu came to kill him, Lord Brahma could not protect him. Whether he would have wanted to or not. So, this is part of surrender, to have faith that Krishna will give one protection. There's another instance in the Mahabharata, because Krishna he didn't want to take sides in the battle of Kurukshetra. So he said that whoever sees him first in the morning will get the choice between either Krishna or Krishna's army. And even if they get Krishna, Krishna will not take part in the fighting, but he'll just be with them. So, early in the morning, both Arjuna and Duryodhana came to Krishna's tent, and Duryodhana thought, well, you know, Krishna's eyes are in his head at the top of his body. I will position myself at his head. And Arjuna was left with the feet. He positioned himself at the feet. So when Krishna woke up, he tilted his head forward, and the first person he saw was Arjuna, who was at his lotus feet. So Arjuna had the choice, and he chose Krishna. And Duryodhana was very happy because he thought, he didn't know that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was envious by nature. Even though Krishna showed him the universal form, or an aspect of the universal form, he still couldn't understand that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Demons don't. They think that Krishna or Vishnu is like, they see his powers, but they think he has some mystic powers, just like demons can also have mystic powers right into their austerities. So they thought, well, this is some display of magic. So the Pandavas got Krishna, and the Kauravas got the army. And of course, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystic powers, and wherever there is Arjuna, the great archer, there will be Shri, opulence, morality, extraordinary power, and victory. And so it happened that the Pandavas, although they were outnumbered greatly in the battle, but still they were successful because Krishna was with them. And therefore it is said that if Krishna is for you, even if the whole world is against you, you will be successful. And if Krishna is against you, even if the whole world is for you, you will fail. So we discuss these topics to clarify our understanding and ultimately to increase our faith. Because the whole process of surrender is based on faith. The whole process of spiritual advancement is based on faith. These series of stages of progress, adoshadha, tatasadha, sambhata, tatamajana, kriya, all the way up to, well, as we discussed in Arthanubhuti, nishtaruchya, shakti, and bhava, and then prema. They're just further developments of shraddha. There is no difference in essence or in substance between shraddha and prema. Prema is just a more mature, condensed stage of shraddha. And therefore, must hear about Krishna in the narrations of Krishna, Krishna Katha, to increase our faith. And we must also chant without offense to increase our faith. If we chant with offense, our faith will be weak, because we'll be chanting, but we won't be feeling the results very quickly or very vividly. So we'll think, you know, does this process work? Is it practical? Or maybe it works for others, but it won't work for me. It's not a good fit. Krishna consciousness is not a good fit for me. There will be so many doubts. But if we chant properly, without offense, and again, without offense means constantly and consistently endeavoring to live without offense and chant without offense, one will feel the results, and then one's faith will increase. Of course, sometimes one's faith can increase through some calamity. That's a sort of special case, but that can also increase one's faith. One realizes that one cannot be successful by one's own endeavors independent of Krishna. Like Hiranyakashipu, he wanted to become immortal, deathless, amar, and he did very severe austerities that were so severe they disturbed the whole universe. And Lord Brahma himself came to intervene, to offer Hiranyakashipu some boons so that he would desist from his severe austerities. And Hiranyakashipu asked to become immortal. And Lord Brahma said, I cannot give you immortality because I myself am not immortal. So Hiranyakashipu was very intelligent. He thought himself to be very intelligent. So he asked for a series of boons that he thought would indirectly make him immortal. That he would not be killed inside a building or outside. The Brahma granted. He would not be killed during the day or at night. Granted. He would not be killed in the sky, on land, or on water. Granted. He would not be killed by any animal or man or demigod. Granted. He placed so many conditions on his death that he thought death could not get him. Huh? Yes, and he would not be killed by any weapon. Not be killed by any weapon. And as we know, when Hiranyakashipu tortured his son Prahlad, who was a pure devotee, Nrisimhadeva appeared from the pillar and killed Hiranyakashipu. He kept all of Lord Brahma's boons intact. It's like we discussed yesterday, the Lord protects the word of his devotees. So Lord Brahma had given so many boons, and Hiranyakashipu kept them intact. Earlier, Narada Muni had given shelter to Prahlad's mother when Prahlad was still in the womb. And he had also assured her that no harm would come to her son. And that boon was also kept intact, that Narada's word was also kept intact. So, Nrisimhadeva kept Narada's words intact and Rama's words intact, and still killed Hiranyakashipu. He didn't kill him inside the palace or outside the palace, but just on the threshold between the inside and outside. He didn't kill him on the land or in the sky or on water. He killed him on his lap. He didn't kill him during the day or at night, but just at twilight. And he didn't kill him by any weapon, but he killed him with his nails. And Srila Prabhupada comments that although Hiranyakasipu was so intelligent, but still his intelligence fell short. And Srila Prabhupada compared the incident to when Mother Yashoda was trying to bind Krishna with ropes, and the ropes were always 2 fingers too short, 2 inches too short. So Srila Prabhupada said, we may try to outsmart Krishna, but our intelligence is always 2 inches too short. Hiranyakasipu was thinking that he could, as Prabhupada puts it, he was thinking of being killed by the atomic bomb. So he took all measures to protect himself from the atomic bomb. But he didn't think of the nails. He couldn't anticipate that he would be killed by the nails. Him, the Lord. And so he was vanquished. So because we are conditioned souls, and we have come into the material world out of envy of Krishna, so that envy is there. In fact, when we become free from envy, we're liberated. The 6 Goswamis are glorified, Dira, Dira, Jina, Priya, Priya, Karo, Nirmatsaro, Ujito. That they are dear both to the gentle and the ruffians, because they are not envious of anyone. And therefore they are worshipable. And Srila Prabhupada says, anyone who is non-envious is worshipable, because only a pure devotee can be free from envy. So we are in the material world because of envy, and even though we are trying to become free from it, until we're completely liberated and purified, there will be some envy. And on account of the envy, we have that tendency to want to take the place of God, to be the supreme enjoyer and controller and proprietor. And that places us in a position of competition with God, like Hiranyakasipu and Lord Vishnu, who eventually came in the form of Vishnudeva. And in that competition, guess who wins? God, not us. So it may happen that our materialistic plans Although being devotees, they would be related to Krishna consciousness, they would definitely be related to Krishna consciousness, but still, in that competition, the Lord may show that He is more intelligent than we are. And take away what we were trying to hold on to. That's also the Lord's mercy. That's also one of the 10 offenses. Not to have complete faith, back to faith, not to have complete faith in the Holy Name, and to maintain material attachments, even in spite of hearing so many instructions on the matter. So we've heard all the instructions, we know the philosophy, we've heard the classes, we've given classes, but we still harbor material attachments. And the Lord, out of His causeless mercy to a sincere devotee who's not strong enough to give up his material attachments on his own, the Lord will take away those attachments. Yasya ham anugrinami harishye taddanam shanai. Lord Krishna says that when He's especially favorably disposed to some devotee, the first installment of His special mercy is He takes away the devotee's attachments, money, or whatever. And then the devotee, being deprived of the false support of whatever the material thing was, being deprived of the false pleasure of whatever the material thing was, is in a better position to surrender to Krishna. And also realizing that Krishna outsmarted him, that he made so many plans, so many arrangements, to get what he wanted or keep what he wanted. But Krishna was more intelligent. He outsmarted him. He created a situation by which the devotee lost what he had tried so hard to protect and keep. And that can also increase one's faith in the Lord. Not just in the Lord's power, of course He is all powerful. As Srila Prabhupada used to say, that if you want to take with your two hands, and Krishna wants to give with His 10 hands, how much can you take? And if you want to hold on to something with your two hands, and Krishna wants to take it away with His 10 hands, how much will you be able to hold on to? You can't. If Krishna wants to take it away, you can't keep it. So when Krishna takes something away from us, it's a manifestation not only of His supreme power and intelligence, but it's a manifestation of His mercy, that Krishna actually cares for us. He knows that us trying to hold on to these attachments is not in our best interest. And as long as we hold on to these attachments, we won't be able to make progress. So His taking away our attachments is a manifestation of His mercy and care for us. Otherwise we can't progress. It's the example of the wedding party that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur gave. Once a disciple asked Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur that all of your disciples are chanting the holy name, they're all engaging in service, they're all following the regulated principles, but some seem to be progressing quickly and others not. What is the reason? And then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta told the story of the wedding party. That they got on the boat at night, and the boatman was supposed to row them quite some distance down the river. And when they woke up in the morning, they found that the boat was in the same place. It hadn't gone anywhere. So the wedding party was very upset, began to abuse the boatman that you're supposed to take us to our destination and we're in the same place. You slept all night. You didn't do your job. You just went to sleep. He said, no, I was rowing all night. I was rowing very hard. How could you have been rowing very hard? We're in the same place. We haven't moved anywhere. And then someone found that the anchor had been left in. He was rowing all night, but the boat didn't go anywhere because he hadn't taken the anchor out. And the anchor is our material attachments. So as long as we hold on to our material attachments, even though we worked hard, getting up early, following the principles, chanting, attending the class, doing the service, but if we're holding on to those material attachments, we won't make much progress. And therefore the Lord, out of His care for us, out of His mercy, and with great intelligence and supreme power, will take away that obstacle. And that is bhakti vidya vinash. The Lord removes not only the external obstacles, but the internal obstacles. And the same applies to the holy name. The holy name can do both, remove the external obstacles and the internal obstacles. And so we should take shelter of the Lord, of the holy name, and place ourselves in His hand and accept whatever mercy He deems fit for us. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, this is a very good example from Srimad Bhagavatam, cited by Janak Maharaj Das, that there was a demon named Banasura, who was a great devotee of Lord Shiva, and he had a benediction from Lord Shiva to have 1,000 arms, and he was very powerful. He was so powerful with his 1,000 mighty arms that no one would fight with him. But he wanted to fight with someone. Who could he fight with? And the only person he could fight with was Lord Krishna. So Lord Krishna fulfilled his desires and fought with him. It was a big battle with the armies on both sides, and Lord Shiva took the side of Manasura. But of course Lord Krishna was successful, and with his bow and arrow he severed 998 arms of Mansura left only two. And Mansura, by the grace of the Lord, surrendered to Krishna. And Lord Krishna spared him. So that's another example. There's also Vrikasura. He's also a devotee of Bhagavad-gita. And,
He's passing Krishna and Bhima at your
door. Yes. Would you like to tell that story? Yes. Krishna and Bhima Pashi. There's another interesting point, a sort of subtle point, that when Lord Ramchandra was on his way to Lanka, he worshipped the deity of Lord Shiva at Rameshwar. And there's a story or a rumor, the theory that because Ravana was a devotee of Lord Shiva, that Lord Ramchandra went to Rameshwaram to take permission from Lord Shiva to kill Ravana. Srila Prabhupada said that the people who are propagating this theory are really saying that Lord Shiva is a rascal. I want to say that Lord Shiva is a rascal, that he would give permission to someone to kill his devotee. That's not the case. If someone surrenders to you, you have to protect the person. He may be against the Lord, and the Lord may kill him because you're unable to protect him. But if someone surrendered to you, it's your duty to try to protect the person. You can't say, well, he surrendered to me, but that's okay, you can kill him. So, it's not that Lord Shiva didn't want to give protection to Ravana, and in the case of Mansura, he actively took part in the warfare, but he didn't have the power to. It was Krishna Rati Mari Ke Krishna Mari Rati. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Pandit Maharaj. Well, what Pandit Maharaj says is true, that as we progress through the different stages, by our spiritual practices, we're in the association of the Lord. His name, His form, His qualities, His pastimes. But within our hearts, we have a desire for direct service to the Lord. Direct service means as the servant of the servant of the servant. And therefore we feel separation, although we're associating with the Lord through our spiritual practices, but at the same time we feel separation. And that is, when that separation reaches its climax, when that eagerness reaches its climax, then the Lord, if He chooses, will come to us. Like when the gopis, when Krishna loves the gopis, they were roaming throughout the Vrindavan forest looking for Krishna. They couldn't find him. And in the end they realized they cannot find Krishna unless Krishna wants to be found by them. And then they thought, let us return to the banks of the Yamuna, where Krishna had originally called us. At once he went, and let us sing out our hearts with sankirtan. All the gopis together sing out their hearts in sankirtan. And when their separation reached the highest point, when their eagerness reached the highest point, then Krishna appeared before them. But this requires mercy. Our own practices and even our own eagerness are not enough. It requires mercy. And that's what takes the devotee into bhava. It's described that bhava is like a ray of prema. And that ray is bestowed upon the devotee by the mercy of some dear associate of the Lord. It's not in our power, but of course when they see the feelings of separation are so intense, desires so strong, so it's really the ultimate result depends on the mercy of some very dear devotee of the Lord who has that love in his heart, or her heart, and will bestow a ray of that love upon us into our heart. That will bring us to that stage. Shuddha Sattva. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.